Well, the message I feel led to bring to us tonight will be a teaser in the sense that it points towards what God wants to do in us and with us in this new season. And believe me, we are stepping into a new season. Amen. And in this new season that we're stepping into, old methods will not work. Praise the Lord. Things have to change to operate. If you want to move on to this new orbit, then there are certain things that got to change. Certain things that need to be redefined. Certain things that we need to re-understand for it to be functional where we are heading. Amen? And let me start by sharing a dream that was rather disturbing. I don't like sharing dreams that much, but I think this one was rather crucial. The Lord brought me into a certain, and he showed me stage one and showed me stage two. That was more casual. And then he said to me, watch this. Look. And I stepped, and I'm looking, and looked like everything was normal. I'm saying, what am I supposed to be seeing here? And the scene changed. And I'm inside a building, and there were some people there, dressed in white. It looked like a church setting. And here comes this guy, all beaten up, bloody, scroungy little guy. And he comes in there and says, I'm a martial artist and I'm going to beat you all up, he says. I'm watching this scene. I'm saying, look at this guy. This guy's going to beat everybody up here. There's so many of us here. He's going to beat everybody up. I'm watching. And he stands by the wall and is all beaten up, bloody, all bloody. And he's mounting off. And all of a sudden, one of the guys standing there starts going, the guy's not touching him, but he's going like this. I'm watching, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, somebody over here starts punching themselves and beating themselves up. And somebody here is breaking their legs, and the guy is still there, and I'm watching this happen. What is the Lord showing me here? What's going on? What's going on? Why are these guys acting crazy? This guy is not touching them, and they're hurting themselves. And then the guy left. And lo and behold, everybody were still sitting where they were, and not one person was hurt. They were all sitting where they were. The guy didn't touch them, but somehow they had been deceived and they were confused. And the Lord said, see that? I said, yeah. He said, the enemy is already defeated. But the enemy will want you to think that you are the one that is defeated, and he will cause you to beat yourself up. But the way I see you, you still are, without one bone broken, without anything messing you up. And I woke up. I said, wow.
This is interesting. But you know what? That is how many have lived their lives. And so it is that in this end time, in this change of season, two things are going to happen. You are going to accept and assimilate and tap into the righteousness of the living God that He's already given to you as a gift, or else you're going to beat yourself up in condemnation, beat yourself up, and the enemy wouldn't have done anything. He was just there. He didn't do nothing, but the first guy was going backwards. That was the start of it. I say to you tonight that in this new season that we are stepping into, it's going to have to be different. Because if you don't make this shift, child of God, you are going to find yourself in a big, big mess. You're going to have to make the shift and not allow the devil to get into your mind. All that happened was happening in their mind. I could see it as if it were happening right there. But it was all a mind game. They were dressed in white, and now here they are, not because the enemy did anything, because they did it to themselves. They did it all to themselves. So the question I need to ask us today is this: what lie has the enemy allowed you or caused you to believe about yourself? Because the lie that you believe is running your life. The lie that you believe. The lie that you believe is determining the life you are living. Let me say it again. The lie you believe is determining the life that you live. I'll say it a third time. The lie that you believe is determining the life that you live. If you think that you are a failure you will be. But if you believe that God is gracious and that He came to destroy the works of the devil, then you will refuse to believe the lie of the enemy and you will cleave to the gift of righteousness that God has given to you and not allow your eyes to see anything else. Is somebody listening? And we are shifting to that place. We're not just changing calendars. God said, this is the year of the manifestation of my glory. Is that what He said? And He also said, this has nothing to do with you. Do you remember me saying that? This has nothing to do with you. This is all me. And that means this, child of God, that you're going to have to get out of your way and out of God's way. Hello? You're going to have to get off your way and out of God's way, because this thing is going to happen. And if you stay in the way, you're going to get crushed. Get out of the way and let God be God. Somebody listening? I asked the saints in Toronto this morning, I said, if I say without giving you a book in the Bible, and I just said, 5:17. What do you think I'm talking about? What scripture you think I'm talking about? 2 Corinthians, that's exactly what they said. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If I said 3:16, what do you think I'm talking about? 3:16. Wow. Because those passages are burnt deep within our spirits. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Watch this. Watch this. Because this is so crucial now. God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should, somebody say should. Should not perish. Should not perish. Should not. You believe the son that God gave, therefore you should not perish. It didn't say shall not. It said should not. Well, because the decision of continuing in the word of God is yours. You got to continue in the word of God. Don't look at your natural. Go beyond your natural and look at what Christ came to do. He came to save the lost. And if you feel lost, then he came for you. Hello? If you feel lost, he came for you. That means that you've been qualified to experience him. Therefore, it is imperative that you do not spend your time beating yourself up. I am no good. I'm hopeless. I'm useless. Some people even dare say, I think I'm going to hell. That's not your language. He came to destroy the works of the devil so that you don't get to go to hell. He went to hell already for you. And he came out of there. And by the way, when he went to hell, he took you with him. So the price for hell has already been paid for. You've done your time. You came out. And you are now seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it is important that you don't see yourself in that mess, but see yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because as you come into this next year, 2020, this is perfect vision. You're going to have to see with God's eyes and not with the eyes of natural man. If you see with the eyes of natural man, all you're going to see is a big fat mess of you not being good enough, you not being the blessed, you cursed, you hindered, you delayed, you oppressed. That's all you're going to see. Or else, you can see differently and see that you are a child of the Most High God, that he came to deliver and set free. Now, it's imperative that if you see that about yourself, that you see that about your brother. Let me say it again. If you see you righteous in Christ, then you must also now see your brother righteous in Christ. That means that you are not in the realm of pointing fingers at each other, accusing each other, but rather helping each other to walk together in the righteousness of the living God. Somebody hearing what I'm saying to you? So get away from living in that state. One of the precious disciples of the Lord was a woman
that he cast out 7 demons out of. And he revealed himself to her because she saw that as her past. You got to see your past as past and understand that he says that you are a new creation. Praise the Lord. See it about you, but don't just see it about you. See it about your brother. The Lord said, I didn't come for the so-called righteous. I came for sinners. Now, that statement, I'm going to expound on some of the things I'm talking about. I'm going to go deeper. Everything that you know about yourself right now needs to be redefined in view of where God is taking us to. Let me put it this way. You know, the other day I was watching a documentary, and this lady was standing in front of a blackboard or a green board, whatever it is, and they had all kinds of equations, mathematical equations. R squared, this over that, and all this stuff, it was weird. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, does anybody know what that means? People are doing these mathematical calculations, and based on that, they're going to the moon, they're doing all kinds of engineering stuff, all kinds of amazing things. I can watch my television based on those equations. I can talk to somebody in Africa based on those equations. But where did all that start? It started with 1 + 1 = 2. And 2 + 2 = 4. That same simple thing that they had here is now R and X. If you get stuck with 2 + 2 = 4, and you don't make the leap to R and X and whatever, you will fail math. Forget about calculus. And are we talking? But it's the same thing. Now, what I'm talking to you about right now is the shift. We're moving from elementary, foundational things, to application, which means that once upon a time you declared righteousness as, yes, right standing in the sight of God, but now there is a major shift where now you understand the application of righteousness and how it is going to work in every aspect of your life. Step by step by step by step by step. Let me take you to a particular passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 17, I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, but bear with me. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to do what? To heal them. Which people were there? The religious leaders. Now, this is where I want to start. And this is where we all need to shift. There were Pharisees, there were doctors of the law. These are highly educated people in the issues of religion. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there, and the Bible says the power of God was present to heal them. So God was here to heal the leaders. But this talk, here comes a man that had a palsy. When you have a palsy, you have a shaking disease. And so he could not stand or walk properly. And his friends carry him, and they come, and lo, where Jesus was inside the house, and every place was packed. Places packed. What do? They want to get to Jesus, but there is the masses. And that's the second thing I want to drop in your spirit right now. Don't let people stop you from connecting with Jesus. Let me say that again. The people were there, they were listening, but they were blocking this man. Now he could wait until they all left, but that's not the season. The season is not the season of waiting until there's room for you. This season, you got to make the room. What kind of room? The kind of room where you create an open heaven. I'll say it again. The season where you create an open what? Heaven. They went up to the roof and began to tear off the tiling, remove the roof, and now Jesus can see right up. There was an open heaven. You and I need to hear what God says about the open heaven. When the heavens were open, the voice of God came down and spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you remember that? He had not done one miracle yet. He didn't do nothing. No blind people seeing, no deaf people hearing, no dead raised. He's not done one miracle yet, and God says, "I am well pleased." Because the open heaven experience has nothing to do with your works. Nothing to do with your works. Now, this is dangerous territory. It's dangerous territory because it has nothing to do with what you have done or not done. It has everything to do with what God has elected. God says, "I'm going to manifest my glory," and that day he was manifesting his Son. Hello? Second time, open heaven, he is out the mount. The glory of the Lord is revealed, and God speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." You remember that? Because this is not about Moses and the law, this is not about prophesying as Elijah, name it, claim it, power explosion. No, none of that. God says, the focus now is Jesus. It's not on what you do or did not do. The focus is on what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished on your behalf. Hello? So they brought the man down, And the Bible says when he saw his faith, when he saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven thee. What connection? Why didn't Jesus say, be healed? The guy is sick. But he says, your sins are forgiven thee. This is crucial, because now you and I must come to that settled place. My sins are forgiven. If you don't connect with the fact that God has forgiven you your sins, you will remain a man with a palsy, shaken. But if you will accept, God has forgiven me, God has redeemed me, he came to destroy the works of the devil, this lying spirit is not going to come there and cause me to fall backwards to some religious mindset, but rather I am going to march forward recognizing that the Lord has taken me by the hand. It's leading me forward. This is a new season, child of God. This is a season. First stage, you're like Peter, saying, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. And says, come. And you get out of the world, out of the boat, and you start walking on water based on your belief system. But your belief system is not going to carry you through this storm, because there is a different kind of a storm. And your believing is not what's going to carry you. What is going to carry you in this season is his believing. His faith, not your faith. Somebody listening? Because the kind of things God wants to do, your faith, your natural faith, your natural belief system cannot cut it. It's not going to be able to cut it. Because what he wants to do is so extraordinary that, like they said, when he healed this man, they said, we've not seen anything like this before. We've not seen anything like this before. Where did this come from? There are miracles that God wants to bring about that your natural mind cannot connect with. And if you are banking on your spirituality, you will not, because your spirituality, your righteousness is as filthy rags before God, you will not be able to connect with the level of miracles God wants to bring about. Because we're in the stage now where, oh, I'm so prayed up, I am so fasted up, I have given so much, that's why this is going. No, none of that is going to work now. None of that. Please hear me. This is not that time. The season has changed. There's a shift, because anything that you try to do is not good enough. You're going to have to let God do the good enough in you. That means you and I got to die. I mean, really, really die. Die. Die to self. Die to I'm a prayer warrior. There's no prayer warrior here. You want to do the prayer warrior thing? You're going to get battered. You want to do, I'm a fasting machine. You're going to get so beaten up, you won't know what happened to you. This time, you got to shift and rely on his ability, be in Christ. Huh? Understanding what it really means to be in Christ. in God. That means I am not here. you can't see me because I'm in Christ, in God, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Abba. My reliance is not on my ability. It's on the goodness of God. Not because he says it is he who wills. He wills to bring about his good pleasure in you and in me. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying total reliance on God. Peter was sinking, and now he cries out, help! This is a time for you and I to do the right thing. Oh God, I need serious help. I need help. I need help. If you don't help me, my goose is cooked. Help me. Say, heaven helps those who help themselves. Where did you find that? What Bible? Let it change. So he reveals himself. Listen to this. Verse 21. It says, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. That's his natural mind. Their natural mind, based on their whatever, they started reasoning, and they said, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? The manifestation of God. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Well, it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Go home. Because you believe that if I'm a sinner, I won't be able to do this. So, proof that I have the right to say it, go home. And it worked. The manifestation of the glory of God. See, immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And we're all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And another passage says, we've not seen it in this fashion. Because it's a new day, it's a new experience. We've not seen it happen like this before. God is bringing us to that place where we cannot rely on what we used to know. Hello? You got to connect with him in a new way. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly go further. See, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi. Matthew tells us, Levi is Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Levi was doing very well, was a wealthy man. Jesus sees him, says, follow me. And he leaves everything, and the Bible says, and Levi made him a great feast. That's not a poor man. Made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Watch this as I wrap up. He meets Levi, he calls him, and Levi throws a big party. First group we had at the beginning of the passage, verse 17, are these religious leaders. Primarily, all of them, they came from all the cities of Galilee. They came from Judea. They came from Jerusalem. All of them. And the power of God was there to heal them. But they didn't get healed. It was a man who comes through, created an open heaven, created a setting in which God could minister to him. That's the person that gets healed. Jesus reveals himself to him. And now we have Levi, and he's throwing this party. And here, there are all kinds of publicans, sinners, all gathered. And their so-called religious leaders come. How come you guys are sitting together? This Jesus, why is he sitting down with sinners and eating with them? Something's wrong here. They're back to their accusation. Listen to this. 31. Jesus answered and said to them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." 32. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." 33. "And he said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often?" What's the connection? Because they've got to go back to their religious system. And that's the one thing I got to warn every one of us concerning. Getting stuck in our religious systems and not in what God is doing in the now. Why do you guys not fast like John's disciples and make prayers likewise like the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? You guys are eating and drinking. In fact, they call Jesus a glutton. Can you imagine Jesus being called a glutton? He's the glutton, but he's the one producing the miracles. And here are these religious guys, they can't do nothing. Accusation. And I want to say to you, don't buy into you accusing yourself, and don't buy into the enemy accusing you. Tap into the grace of God. I'm not talking about living a foolish life, living pretentiously. I'm talking about letting God be God in your life. Amen? And then he makes a very interesting statement. He said unto them, "Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." And watch this next statement. He's talking about fasting, and now he comes and he starts talking about this. "He spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old." That's what I'm talking to you about. In this new season, you cannot bring new cloth and try to attach it to the old. It's not going to work. "If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old." These two are not going to agree. He goes on. "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved." God wants both preserved. And the way this happens is for you and I not to be stuck on our religious, so-called spiritual ideologies of the past, where it was what you did got you this result. Now, you are not going to give to the Lord so that you can receive. Now you're going to have to give to the Lord because you know He is totally your provider. Now, you say, but that's what I used to do. No, sit down and evaluate. Think. And you'll find out that your giving had some religious, spiritualized aspects to it. That was workable. There's nothing wrong with that. It was appropriate. It was right with the old. But now in the new, you cannot, there's no amount that you're going to give that's going to generate whatever. Now it is you operating totally in total surrender to God. God, I give you my all because I know you are going to take care of me. It's not about I give a tithe or I give an offering. And so I've obeyed God. Now God can bless me. No. God can bless me because God wants to bless me, and I am responding in total surrender to His will, to His power, to His grace, trusting Him completely. I'm trusting God completely. So God, you want $1,000? Here it is. God, you want all of my bank account? Here it is. What are you going to do tomorrow about your rent? I don't know, but God wanted it, so I gave it to Him, and now I know God will take care of me. How He's going to do it, that's none of my business. I know He takes care of me. Because He's my good shepherd, I shall not what? Want. It's a totally different system. It's called surrendering to God's grace. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the next verse something very crucial. And this is where I'm going to end. He says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. This change that I'm talking to you about tonight is not an easy change. It's not an easy change. You don't snap like that and you change. He says, because somewhere deep inside of you, you're going to be still thinking old system, but I am moving you to something new that has no dependence on what you can produce, but totally on what I can produce in you and through you. I need you to relax so I can take you. Peter was going by his ability in faith, and they start sinking, and he cries out. And now Jesus holds him by the hand, and the boat walks back. This time, I know it. Peter is not looking anywhere else. His eyes is locked on Jesus. His eyes are locked on Jesus. And he's looking at Jesus. He's not looking anywhere else. And child of God, what I'm saying to you tonight is very simple. This is a time to look unto the author and the finisher of your faith and my faith. This is not a time for you to look on, oh, I read 5 chapters in the Bible today. I did good job. I spent 5 hours praying today. This is not that time. It's not whether you prayed 20 hours or you prayed 1 minute. Pray you should. But it's not dependent on what you did. That's not what's going to bring about the change. That's not what's going to bring about the manifestation of His glory. What's going to bring about the manifestation of His glory is God manifesting His glory. And there's no way you can make that happen. Only He can make that happen. Capish? That's where we're going to stop tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we are thankful that Your word is the truth. And Lord, oh God, that You're going to do what You want done. And we step out of the way and we say, Jesus, be Lord. We cannot raise ourselves from the place of death. You can. We rely not, O God, on our ways, on our systems, on our talents, on our abilities. We place no faith in anything that we think we can do. But our faith and our trust and our reliance is completely on You. Lord, we cry out for the help that we need to make the shift. Just like the spacecraft needs to dump certain capsules so that it can launch into a different orbit. Lord, we are asking now for the grace to be able to shed what needs to be shed so we can flow into the orbit that You have ordained. I declare, O God, freedom for every son, for every daughter. Those that are stuck, O God, in relationships that are sour. Those that are stuck, O God, in one addiction or the other. Lord, O God, those that are struggling, Father, financially, and saying, what can I do? What can I do? How can I this? How can I that? Lord, O God, that everyone, no matter where they are, will come to a place where they lay all things at Your feet and say, God, if You don't take me out of this, I am done. Lord, help us all, every one of us, every one of us, every one of us. Help me not to rely on what I knew in the past, what You taught me in the past, but to rely on the fresh things that You are bringing through as You begin to expound on the integrity of what has been there. So, Lord, O God, that the new wine and the old wineskin can operate together and there be no spillage, no renting or tearing because there's a mismatch. Lord, cause all things to match perfectly. Perfectly. A perfect match. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise